The Overtons kind of felt, you know, the Lord lead us to do this. And then our first Sunday was the Sunday after we had 125 people show up, our first Sunday. Amen. Yeehaw, that's okay. And we've just seen God do some amazing things. So we want to celebrate our first year. So on July 24th, we're going to meet here at 10:30. We're going to have a great service. Our sponsoring church, which is Bar None Cowboy Church in Tyler, Texas, is going to be here. They're going to record the whole service, which is scary for me. If my sermon's sorry, you know, or if I don't bring it that day, then it's on video. And everybody gets to sit. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, they're going to video our service, and we're going to have a great time. We might even include the Longhorns that morning, so be ready for that. We might have like 100 Longhorns in the parking lot and all that stuff. So we're looking forward to that. But our one-year anniversary, July 24th, 10:30 right here. And then that evening, we are inviting you to our ranch, to our house out at Mutual, Oklahoma. It's only like 20 miles away from here. It's easy to get to. There are directions in the windmill if you want directions. And we are going to have a barn dance, all the catfish you can eat. We're going to have a good time. We're going to actually do some baptisms in a horse trough. We've got 10 or 12 baptisms. So we're going to do those baptisms in a horse trough out at the house. So you guys make plans to be here on the 24th. It's going to be an exciting time. Also, bring a chair. We won't have chairs out there on the 24th at our house. And bring a dessert. The catfish, the beans, the coleslaw, everything else is provided. If you'll bring a dessert in your chair, you'll be good to go. If you are interested in being baptized on the 24th, we are having a meeting as soon as church is over in the cafe. So if you've accepted Christ in your heart and you want to be baptized, we are going to have a meeting as soon as church is over to talk about that. So meet us in the church cafe as soon as we're done. All right, I want to make one more announcement real quick. We have a great special guest, and this is the only one that I kind of know, so if there's more, I want to thank them. But Lance Corporal Justin Kewen, Lance, come on, go ahead and stand up if you don't mind. Lance here, yeah, give it up for Lance. Along with all the other troops, spent 9 months in Afghanistan. He is stationed at 29 Palms, California. He's the son of Christy Kewen, and I just want you to know that our freedom isn't free. And he's paid that price, and I just thank God for him, and I thank God for all of our troops. Let's give him a hand. Here's what we're going to do this morning. I want you to stand before we do our meet and greet. We're going to pledge our flag. If you'll just stand with us, we're going to pledge our flag, and then we'll greet one another today. So our flag is on the screen there. Let's say a pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic from which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. Yeah. Woo! All right, you guys greet one another. Shake somebody's hand you don't know.
He is the way to heaven. We want to see. called Heart of Worship. It's an amazing song, so just as usual, you can sit back and just reflect on the words or just sing it out to God.
God for all our children, amen.
Yeehaw. Yeehaw. Yeehaw.
song is called In God We Still Trust. It's a great song. Don Murillo does, and we want to do it for you. Pop bottle rockets. Anybody do pop bottle rockets? I think they're illegal in Oklahoma. some back. Amen? And we used to shoot at each other. How about one of those Roman candle wars? Anybody have a Roman candle war? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, seriously, someone can get really hurt doing that. You guys shouldn't do that at all. But we did. We had a great time. I remember, I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stop right there. For the last few weeks, we've been talking about, and we've been picking on our men. And I haven't got as many amens from the women that I'm wanting. And I've been picking on the men. I've been telling these men how to love their wives, and I'm hoping to get some amens, all right?
Yeehaw!
Yeehaw! Amens. There you go. Well, today, we're going to kind of pick on the men again, but we're going to include everybody. And this sermon or this message is going to include everybody. Part one of what we're calling a series called The Real McCoy. In other words, becoming the genuine article for Jesus Christ and being the real deal. And again, we picked out some men. We learned that a real McCoy, men of God, fear the Lord. In other words, they honor, they revere the Lord. They love and obey his word, which are the directions that we're supposed to follow. And then in part two, we learned that the real McCoy men always ride shotgun. Remember that? Had the little wagon in here. Real McCoy men always ride shotgun. And the verse tells us that we are to be on guard, right? And that's what we are supposed to do as men. We're supposed to be on guard, guarding our wives and our families from the devil. And then we learned that when it comes to time for us to take a stand, that us as men are to lead the circling of the wagons and take our stand, a firm stand in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to continue that look. But again, I'm going to include women. And one of these days, I'm going to pick on the women, even though I know nothing about women. I might have my wife preach that sermon. Is that going to be good? I mean, who would love to hear my wife preach a sermon? Hey, can I tell you a little secret? You know, I used to have a mustache, and it was a wild and curly mustache. I'm a Yosemite Salmon, man. I mean, it was awesome. And I shaved my mustache because of the love of my wife. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many men have been there? You shave because you love your wife. Okay, thank you. Well, here's the other side of that. My wife, she blew this out of her mouth, and I'm going to hold her to it. She said, "Bo, if you shave your mustache, I'll wear a cowboy hat to church." I was like, holy moly, yeah! So on the biggest Sunday we have, which is the celebration, I'm going to ask my wife to wear her cowgirl hat to church. Yeah, come on, Ben, back me up here. Now, you know, so I just had to get that out. So now she's got to do it. Maybe not on that Sunday, right? Maybe not. Maybe on another Sunday. But anyways, well, here's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk to you about cowboy courage. Cowboy courage. It takes a lot to be a cowboy, and one of the things that it takes a lot of is courage. Whether it's putting the first ride on a colt, whether it's roping that bull out of the pasture that's gotten into your pasture, whether it's sliding off a horse, doing the steer wrestling, or whether it's flying into the arena around the barrels chasing cans. It takes courage to be a cowboy. But it doesn't take courage to be ignorant, right? I mean, it doesn't. I'm going to tell you a little joke. Here's a little joke, okay? It's called The Courageous Cowboy at the Pearly Gates. It says this. A Texas cowboy appeared before St. Peter at the Pearly Gates. Who would have thought he'd be a Texas cowboy? The greatest thing that came out of Texas is I-35. I'm just kidding. If you're from Texas, we love you too. I'm just playing. I get made fun of all my Texas friends, so I gotta, throw a little something back out. But let me say it again. A Texas cowboy appeared before St. Peter at the Pearly Gates. "Have you ever done anything of particular merit?" St. Peter asked. "Well, I can think of one thing," the cowboy offered. "Once on a trip to the Black Hills in South Dakota, I came upon a gang of bikers who were threatening a young woman. I directed them to leave her alone, but they wouldn't listen. So I approached the largest and most heavily tattooed biker, smacked him in the face, kicked his bike over, and ripped out his nose ring, and I threw it on the ground and I yelled, 'Now back off! I'm going to kick the heck out of all of you!'" St. Peter was impressed, and he asked, today we're gonna look at our scripture that we've been looking at for the last week or so. Go ahead and show that scripture. 1 Corinthians, if you got your Bibles, you can turn, or it's going to be on the screen right there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Great scripture. This is what we've been studying for the last couple weeks. Read it, or follow along as I read it. It says this. It says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Let me read it again. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. We're going to ask God to bless the rest of our time today and just give it all to Him. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity just to come and just to worship you. I thank you for each person that's here today. And Lord, they're not here by accident. And Lord, though I'm picking on men today, I hope the women and the boys and the girls in the house, that they would just realize that it does take courage to be a Christian today. And so Lord, give us the courage to do what it is that you've called us to do. It's in your name I pray. Amen. What is the definition of courage? Well, I'm going to try to define that for you. And I don't have 3 points today. All I got is one main point, and it's this. This is how I believe that God would define courage. Listen to it. Men with courage don't just defend their ground, they take ground.
Yeah.
I was waiting. Thank you so much. Let me say that again. Men with courage don't just defend their ground, they take ground. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, that definition really just speaks to me because I'm one of those guys that if you say I can't, it means that I'll try. You know what I'm saying? You don't think I can do that? You don't think I can make that jump? I'm going to try to make that jump. You don't think that I can, you know, ride my horse that fast? I'm going to try to ride my horse, flip and ride. I'm going to try to ride it as fast as I can. You don't think I can rope that gap? I'm going to do it. Listen, we don't just defend our ground. We take ground. Now, I want to give you an example. One of my favorite movies, Tombstone. Anybody ever heard or watched the movie Tombstone? How many of you guys, it's your favorite movie? Yeah. Well, watch the TV version because it's got a little language in it, okay? Don't show it to your kids. It's not a real good movie. Just go ahead and show that picture. That's the guys right there. You know who they are, right? I mean, you got Kurt Russell in the middle, Wyatt Earp. You got Sam Elliott right there. His name is Verge. And then you got Doc over here. I'll be a Huckleberry. Remember that part? I mean, that's awesome. Then you got Morgan, who's over here, and I don't remember that dude's name. What's his name? Who? Something Paxton? Bill. Bill Paxton, I remember him from the Twister. Remember that movie? He was in the movie Twister. But anyways, those are the guys in Tombstone. These are the cowboys in Tombstone. And I love watching the gunfights. I mean, they're my favorite part. When Wyatt Earp, and we watched Wyatt Earp and his brothers as they're on the porch, remember, of the saloon? And they're talking, and Burge is, he's kind of the sheriff. I guess he's the sheriff. I can't really remember. He's the sheriff. And he looks at his brothers, and he says, The cowboys, which was the outlaw gang, remember? They had their guns in town. And Wyatt's like, we don't need to mess with them. And we need to just leave them alone. It's not worth a minor misdemeanor. Misdemeanor. And he looks at Verge and he says, we don't want to go cause trouble for a minor misdemeanor. And you know what Verge says? You bet we will. And he says, we're going to take ground, and as you guys know that have watched the movies, they go and they meet at the OK Corral, right? And here's the thing I love about these cowboys. They didn't just defend them from their porch. They got off the porch and they walked down the street and they met the enemy head on. Some of them got shot. Some of them got killed. Some of them, you know, got maimed. I mean, all this stuff happened. But then, later on in the movie, Wyatt becomes the U.S. Marshal. Remember that? And he's got Ike Clanton. Remember? He's got Ike Clanton right there by the railroad, and he grabs his spur, and he sticks his spur in his face, and he goes, sing! And he cuts Ike's face. And then what does he say to Ike? He's like, do you see this badge? This means that I'm a U.S. Marshal, and you called down the thunder. Remember that? Remember, I mean, I just get chills when I hear that. And he goes, you tell all the other curs, the law is coming. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me. Hell is coming with me. Now, here's the deal. You say, well, what's that got to do with us?
I love it because they didn't just defend their turf, they took ground. You know what Wyatt does after he tells that to Ike Clanton? He goes, go back and tell them all. You know what he does? He hunts down every cowboy that wears a red sash and he kills them all and he rids the region of the outlaws. I don't know about you, but I love that. I would have ridden with Wyatt any day of the week. Because I love that, because he took ground. He wasn't afraid, and I love that. Listen, men and women of God, we cannot just ride shotgun. We can't just defend our ground. We are called to be men of courage and to take back what the devil has taken from us. Listen, Thousand Hills Ranch Church is going to, if we're going to continue to grow the kingdom of God, we can't just sit on our thumbs. We can't just sit here and pick our noses. We've got to take ground for the glory of God. And it's been far too long that our devil has taken the next generation. And he's not giving them back. Guess what? We have to go after them. I don't know about you, and this may be something that you haven't heard me say, but we are here to reach the next generation. Now, here's why. Because the generations before me are pretty much, they were raised in church, they kind of know the church deal, and maybe they have, you know, some church background. But here's what I'm finding in the generation, my generation and below. They don't have a clue. And here's the thing. If you're older and wiser and more mature, I'm trying to be sweet here. We love you. We love you. We are going to serve you. We are going to minister to you. But can I just be honest with you? We are trying to reach the next generation. And we need your help. We need your help. You say, well, I'm not young. If you're young at heart, that's all that we ask. We're going to play some rocking songs in here. We're going to play some country songs in here. We're going to do some things that are a little wild. And if you can't handle it, there's the door. Because we want people that are willing to reach the next generation and take ground back from the devil. That's what we're called to do, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to bring a little hell to the devil. Amen? The hell's coming with me. Here's another definition of courage. I love this definition. Listen to this. If you're writing, if you're taking notes, listen to this. The courage is the willingness, even the desire, to face challenges, to attack difficulties, to bear adversity, and to do it victoriously. Let me read it again. It's a great definition. Courage is the willingness and even the desire. I love that part. You know what courage is? It's not, again, it's not just the willingness to go, okay, I'll fight, and then just stand there. No, it's the desire, and listen to what else it says, to face challenges and to attack difficulties, to bear adversity and to do it victoriously. Listen, we can't just sit back. We've got to take ground. We've got to be willing and have the desire to attack difficulties. You say, well, I don't like difficulties. Well, good luck. You better be praying to die tomorrow because you're going to face difficulties for the rest of your life. And if you don't attack them, you don't embrace them, you don't ask God, God, teach me whatever it is that you're trying to teach me through this, then you will be a miserable person for the rest of your life. I've learned this, and I've talked about this lately. Happiness is not the absence of trials. Happiness is victory over those trials. You know, that's what it is. A lot of people go, well, I'm not happy because I have all these trials in my life. Listen, if you base your circumstances on your happiness or your happiness on your circumstances, you're going to be a miserable person. But if you know Jesus Christ and you trust him and you face those trials with his strength, you can have true happiness, which is victory over those trials. And so, and here's another scripture. I love it. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 9, or 5 and 9, it says this. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, and God's talking here, he says, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Listen, The same God that spoke to Moses, that was with Joshua, that has been with us from the beginning of time, is still with us. He's still with us. The same God that worked miracles is still with us. The same God that defeated enemies in the Bible, he is still with us. And he can still give us the courage to face the enemy. You know who the greatest example of courage is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our greatest example of how to be a courageous cowboy. Listen to what he did. He left heaven to come to earth. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't do that. That takes courage. He was born in a manger, not a palace. I don't know about you, but if I was the king of the world, I would not be born in a manger. I'd say, give me the fans. Give me the grapes. I want to be born in the palace. Listen, it took courage to stand before the other religious teachers and proclaim to be the Savior of the world. That's what Jesus did. It took courage to stand against his enemies. That's what Jesus did. And it took courage to die on a cross so that we might have eternal life. Jesus Christ is the most courageous man to walk the face of the earth. And guess what? We can know him personally. And he can give us the same courage. Jesus Christ not only defended his Father, he took ground for his Father. And guess what? He continues to take ground for his Father. I mean, you say, well, how can I take ground for the Lord? I want to give you a few examples. If you're writing, if you're taking notes, write this down. How can we take ground for the Lord? Number one is this. We must raise our families to love the Lord. You say, well, that just sounds simple. I mean, why? Don't tell me the simple stuff. It's not simple. Are you kidding me? I've got three kids. Three little kids. You think it's simple to try to, you know, set three kids down or two kids that are older and talk to them about Jesus? I mean, they're picking their butts and touching each other. I mean, they're just wallowing around and all that stuff. And it takes like 5 minutes and they're gone. I mean, it's hard, but it takes effort. It takes courage to do that. But the earlier you start, guess what? The earlier they'll get a hunger for it.
Amen.
Amen? The earlier they'll get a hunger for it. I remember kneeling beside my parents' bed, and I remember thinking, teenagers are going to be with me here. I remember we used to have a kind of a family time by our bed each night. I remember thinking, I hate this. Anybody with me? Anybody have that time? You know, you're sitting there and you're reading, dad's reading the Bible and mom's praying, and you're like, I hate this. I wish I was in bed, you know? I was a little jerk kid, you know? And I remember thinking that. But you know what I think now? I thank God that my parents had the guts enough to say, Bo, come on in here. We're going to read the Word of God and we're going to pray together as a family. I don't care if you like it or not. Because that's what the Lord tells us to do. And you say, well, how can I take ground? You say, I don't have all this stuff that I can give to other people. If you've got kids, you can raise them to love Jesus Christ. And you say, well, I don't know how to do that. I didn't have parents that raised me to love Jesus Christ. Listen, you can do it without them. I promise. My dad's dad died when my dad was 4 years old. Never knew him. My dad is the greatest spiritual, courageous man that I've ever met. You know how he learned? He used the example of Jesus Christ and read the Word of God. That's how he learned. He applied the truths of God's Word to his life. He prayed for us as kids. He led our family, even though, and you say, well, my husband's a gentle guy. He doesn't like to talk real, you know, he's just a soft guy. And some of you women are like, I'm the dominant one. I wear the pants in the house. Okay. Well, here's the deal. Your husband is the one that's called to lead your family. And you say, well, he can't do it. He's not bold enough. He don't talk enough. Yes, he can. My mom is like a chihuahua on crack. I'm telling you. My mom can talk to a tree, and she can win. I don't know. I mean, she can win a dog to the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I mean, she's a witness. She will share her faith with anybody. And my dad, he's the guy that stands in the back just shaking his head like, I'm sorry, you know. But then when they pick on my mom, guess who stands up for my mom? My dad. My dad puts her behind him, and he says, you got problems with her, you got problems with me. Guess what? My dad's a gentle guy. You won't find him saying five words in front of a crowd. But guess what? He led our family. He did it. He did it. And here's why he did it. And here's how he did it. My mom allowed him to do it. Women, you maybe have to take a little step back and say, okay, I'm going to give my husband a chance to lead our family. And then you don't just give him a day. Maybe you give him a month or a year. And you say, and you just pray. And you say, okay, God, teach my husband to lead our family. Maybe you just encourage him. You say, you know what? You know what? You know, husband, I have learned this scripture, and I want to share it with you so that you can share it with our kids. And you help him. That's what you're called to do, to be that helpmate, to be an encouragement, to show him what it is to be encouraged and to be loved. Listen, give your husbands a chance to do that. They can do that. Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, do not exasperate your children. In other words, don't antagonize them. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know what you can do? All you got to do is know how to read. Read your kids the Word. Get them in your room before they go to bed. Go to their room before they go to bed and just take a scripture in there and say, okay, son, okay, Hampton, okay, Hank, okay, Madeline, we're going to read this scripture and then we're going to pray together. It takes like 5 minutes. You say, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. You can do it. Read the Word to them. Pray with them. You say, I don't know how to pray. It's okay. Some people are scared. Do you think your little kid's going to make fun of you for praying? No. Your teenager might. But here's the deal. It's okay. One of these days they're going to go, like, they're going to look back like I did. They're going to go, I respect my dad. I respect my mom because they had the guts enough to take a stand for Jesus Christ. You say, well, they hate it now. They buck me. They run. They do all that stuff. Who cares? You keep doing it, and God will show up and take care of them. You do your part. Read the Word. Teach them how to pray. Teach them how to be a Christian. Here's a simple way to do this. There are 31 proverbs in the book, or in the Bible. 31 proverbs in the Old Testament. The book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. There are 31 proverbs. You can read one every day for a month. You say, well, it's the 27th of July. Well, read Proverbs 27. You say, well, I get lost. No, you can't. I mean, if it's the third, if like today's the second or the third, if it's the third of July, read Proverbs chapter 3. It's as simple as that. You know what the Proverbs are? They're books of wisdom. They're chapters of wisdom. I mean, the most wise man that ever walked the face of the earth, Solomon, he wrote those Proverbs, and he gave them to us. And you can read one every day. It's a simple way to do that. So number one, we raise our families to love the Lord. How else can we take the ground for the Lord? Here's number two. Ready? Yeehaw. We share Christ with others. This is a hard one. But we have to share Christ with others. Again, people aren't going to come to church. They're not going to come to Christ just by osmosis. They're not going to come just because, you know, maybe we're good people and they see us driving out of the parking lot or the driveway of our own home. Some of them might, but majority aren't. Majority have to be invited. How many of you guys are here today because somebody invited you to church? Raise your hand. Lots of people, if not everybody. You came to church because you were invited. Listen. We share Christ, and that's how we take ground for the Lord. Look at Luke 19:10. It says, Jesus says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. Listen, if we're going to be imitators of Christ, we have to do the same thing that Jesus did. And he came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's what he did. Courageous cowboys and cowgirls seek out the lost so that they might know Christ. Listen, it isn't a time where you take your Bible, Big Bertha, and you beat it over somebody's head, trying to beat Jesus into them and shove Jesus down their throat. Listen, it doesn't work. Guilt, in my mind, has never motivated someone to come to Christ. It's loving them in spite of their failures. It's not worrying about whether they drink too much or whether they smoke too many or whether they sleep around or whether they're living with their boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not about that stuff. If you will concentrate on their heart and you will love them, all that other stuff will work itself out. We have to concentrate on their heart. Listen, To take ground for Christ means that we take advantage of the opportunities of telling others about Christ. And we do that by building authentic relationships. Listen, how do we gain courage? This is a question you might have. How do we gain courage to take ground for the Lord? Here's number one. We pray for it. You want to have more courage? Pray for it. Be careful, because you have to learn how to be courageous and you face things. So you have to pray for it. Then number two, look for opportunities in your family and in the community to talk about Christ. Look for opportunities. Pray for the opportunities, then look for them, and then take advantage of them. And here's number three, and this is the one we don't like. Realize that it takes rejection, discomfort, and even some persecution sometimes to learn how to be courageous. You say, well, I want the simple route. Well, probably won't learn how to be courageous. It takes trials. One of my other favorite movies is The Cowboys with John Wayne. My favorite movie. Anybody watch that, Mr.? Oh, man, when I was a kid, I loved that movie because I dreamed of riding with John Wayne, one of those cowboys that gets to carry one of those big six-shooters. You remember Pale Bryan Cooper? I mean, he's still alive. He's a great team roper. He was in that movie. He was the littlest boy. And you remember his like, 45 that he carried? Remember when he showed up at Mr. Anderson's house and Mr. Anderson had to carry, pull his gun out, like a 9-inch barrel, throws it in the pup. I mean, oh, yeah, I just love that movie. Well, here's the story. Mr. Anderson, which is the character, John Wayne's character, he needs to drive some cattle. It's actually 1,500 head of cattle. And I don't know if you knew this. I got the deluxe edition of this movie, and they tell about it. The director tells all about it, and he tells how they truly have 1,500 cattle in this. And they drove, and the story goes that they drove them 400 miles to Belle Fouche. Remember that? The marketplace in Belle Fouche. Well, here's the deal. John Wayne's men, they wanted to go hunt gold. So he fires them all. And he has to find these boys to do his cattle drive. Remember that? They go to the schoolhouse, and he looks at them, and then the little boy, Cleo Bryan, goes, how old do you have to be to go? And he says, you gotta be taller than this line. Remember that? And Cleo Bryan's sitting there, and he's too short. But then his buddies pull out the books from the chalkboard, and they push it down, and then he's tall enough to go with the rest of the cowboys and on the cattle drive. Well, here's the deal. These cowboys had to endure some trials. Remember that at the beginning when John Wayne, he ropes that horse in the round pen, and he sucks that horse up to that post, and he says, who's first? Remember that? He grabs the saddle, he saddles that horse up, and Slim says, I'll be first. Slim rides the full out, and then another kid rides the full out and says, I hope I didn't ride all the rough off of him. Remember that? And then they just take turns, and they go through these trials, and then they go through the trail, and they go on the drive, and they lose one of their buddies who falls and gets stalked by the herd. Remember that part? And they go through that trial, and then they face the guy that I hate to this day. Remember? Long hair, what's his name in the movie? Bruce Dern. Yeah, what's his real name? Bruce? Okay. Anyways, he is the worst evil, he's like the best evil guy that ever plays in a movie. Every time I see that guy, I don't even know if he's still alive, but I hate him. Because he scares the fool out of me. Remember when he takes that little kid that he scares the fool out of that had the glasses, and he grabs him by the collar, and he takes him to the creek, and he shoves him in the water, and pulls him out, shoves him in the water, and says, I'll kill you if you tell, Mr. Anderson about me. And then he scares the fool out of that kid. Remember that? Well, he decides that he's going to take the herd, he and his gang. They decide they're going to take the herd. They get the herd. But to do it, they have to kill Mr. Anderson. I don't know about you, but I think this is the only one of two movies that John Wayne dies in. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I've heard. Anyways, Mr. Anderson gets killed. John Wayne is dead. So then you have Mr. Knightley here, who's the cook, the chuck wagon cook, and he's the only guy there. Well, what do the cowboys decide to do? They decide to take back the herd. They bum rush Mr. Knightley, and they put him on the ground, and they say, we're going to take back the herd for Mr. Anderson. And Mr. Knightlinger says, you're going to get yourself killed. And then Slim looks at Mr. Knightlinger, and what does he say? We're going to finish the job. We're going to finish the job. Listen, these boys, they had to learn courage by facing trials. The only way that they were going to ever face, you know, how to handle a gun or how to, you know, handle an enemy was to face the trials that they faced. They learned how to be courageous by facing the trials. Listen, they cowboyed up, and guess what? They took back the herd. And at the very end of the movie, Slim says, "We're burning daylight, boys." Remember that? And he takes that from Mr. Anderson. Listen, courage grows when we face trials and trust God. Courage grows when we face trials and trust God. Listen, believers with cowboy courage don't just defend their ground, they take ground. They take ground. And so here's my question for you. Are you taking ground for the Lord? Or are you just sitting on your haunches trying to defend your little family? You know, when I go into when I go into my kids' rooms at night and I pray with my kids, I do pray for their protection. But here's what I pray for more. This is what I pray for my sons especially. That they will be on the front lines for Jesus Christ. I don't want any pansy boys. I want boys that will stand up for what they believe in. And that they will take ground one day, no matter what it costs, that their mom and their dad will let them loose. Let them go and be who God wants them to be so that they can not just sit back and be a little pansy, but that they can take ground for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's what I pray for my sons. Is that scary? Is my son going to go to Africa and live in a little hut and try to win Africans to the Lord? Maybe. Am I going to let him? Absolutely. Because I want him to take ground. Listen, it's one thing to say, "I know Jesus Christ." It's one thing to stand up and take courage and take ground for him. I hope that you realize that this church is not going to sit on our thumbs and pick our nose and wait for people to come to this church. You say, "Well, what's your job as a pastor?" And you think, "Well, it's to go to hospitals, it's to go, you know, visit people." And listen, I'm going to do some of that, but can I just be clear with you? That's not my number one priority. You say, "Well, that's supposed to be every pastor's number one priority." Well, I'm redefining it. My number one priority is to fulfill the purpose statement of this church, and it's this. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach the unchurched Western culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ by tearing down religious barriers and building authentic relationships. That's my purpose. And guess what? That's your purpose. You say, "Well, I just want to sit here. I want to be comfortable." Praise God. I don't need you. We've got to take ground, and it takes you to do that. I can't do it by myself. The elders can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. We need every one of you that know Jesus Christ to take ground for his glory. And I hope that you will saddle up and ride with us. I hope you will. Let's pray together today. What about you? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, what about you? Are you a coward for Christ? Or are you courageous for Christ? Are you willing to teach your family, no matter what the cost, on how to know Christ and how to love Christ? Or are you going to bow to your teenagers just because they don't like it? Maybe you're here today and you don't have the courage that it takes to love Christ because you don't know Christ personally. And you need to take a step of faith, and you need to have the courage to say today, "Okay, Bo, I hear what you're saying about this Jesus, but I don't know him. I've never met him. I don't have that courage because I don't possess him. He's never come into my heart and saved me from my sin." Listen, the Bible is clear and it's simple. That Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that you might have eternal life. The word says in Romans 10, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. confess Him as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. And you say, well, what does it mean to be saved? Here's what it means. It means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, well, what am I saved from? You're saved from an eternity in hell. Praise God. You say, well, I want that courage. Well, listen, we don't ask you to come to the front at Thousand Hills. We don't ask you to fill out a card or anything. All we ask you to do is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Even in your chair, right where you're at, you can say, okay, Lord, I believe in you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe that God raised you from the dead. I believe that you're alive and you're waiting for us. And you're going to come back someday. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. That's all it takes. And that's just the beginning. And so if you're here today and you've never done that, pray that simple prayer in your heart. And just say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to give you my life. I want to be courageous and take ground for you. I give you my life. Listen, if you've done that for the first time today, we do want to know about it. We're not going to embarrass you in front of anybody during the service. We just want to know about it so that we can encourage you, so that we can equip you, so that we can celebrate with you, so that we can see you follow Christ in baptism and just live for Him. That's what it's about. That's what the church is about. We're here to encourage you and help you grow in your faith. And so if you did that today, we want to know about it. If you'll just come to me, or my information will be on the screen. You want to text me, you want to call me, I'll get together on Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, it doesn't matter. And I will sit down with you. I would love to hear your story. For those of you that are already Christians, listen, I hope that you will apply that definition of courage to your life. The willingness and even the desire to attack difficulties and to take ground for the sake of the gospel. I hope that you will live that out. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. I want to thank you for being here. If you have questions, we'd love to visit with you. Lord, thank you so much for an opportunity just to come and just to learn more about your word, just to come into this barn, this cell ring, and just be able to worship you and learn more about your word. Lord, I thank you for the courage that you possessed in coming to this earth and dying on a cross for our sins.